Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If you're here and have been here for a while, welcome back. If you're here and we haven't met before, it's so great that you're here today. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years now, leading professional development for educators and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, ClassTechTips.com. Now, regular listeners of the Easy EdTech Podcast may be used to joining me on Tuesdays for new episodes, but today I've got something special for you. It's a bonus episode in partnership with Lightspeed, and it's one of several bonus episodes you'll hear this fall. We're going to do these on Fridays this fall. In the past, we've done bonus episodes on Sundays, so I'm excited to make the shift and get you these bonus episodes a little bit earlier in the week. Now, before we get into today's episode, a reminder, if you've been here before, you know that you can head to classtechtips.com/podcast to get all of the show notes from today's episode, including the resources, the links, all the things we talk about. The link is also in your podcast player. So if you tap on the description to today's episode, you'll see it there too. This episode is sponsored by Lightspeed. Lightspeed, the provider of instructional audio solutions that create equal access to learning, is on a mission to help every student hear every word. Today's episode is titled Why Audio Quality Matters and How to Improve It. And I chat with Tony Ziegel, the Senior Vice President at Lightspeed. Now, we talk today about audio, what it means to keep this in mind when you are instructing students or making a plan, a safety plan in your school or district. There's a lot of great tips and information that you might have experienced before, but maybe never named in the way that you'll hear Tony today share some really great vocabulary around this idea of instructional audio quality. Let's dive in to the conversation. Welcome to the podcast, Tony. I am so excited to chat with you today about audio quality and why it's so important, why it matters in every classroom. But before we jump in, would love for listeners to hear a bit about your role in education. What does your day-to-day look like?
Absolutely. My name is Tony Ziegel. I'm the Senior Vice President of Revenue for Lightspeed Technologies. I've had the privilege of working in a number of capacities within Lightspeed for the last 13 years, and I've had the privilege of being able to work with school districts across the country and going into hundreds, if not thousands, of classrooms over the years and being able to interact with teachers as they use our technology and a lot of different technologies in the classroom. In terms of my day-to-day, it just depends on the day and kind of the course of the school year. Today, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona at a superintendent conference. I had the opportunity this morning to be able to sit down and talk to about 30 or 40 superintendents about both our technology as well as the challenges that they're facing across their school districts. In terms of my normal day-to-day, when I'm not at a conference, I'm spending a lot of time working with our 19 account reps across the country as they're serving school districts, regardless of where they live. And sometimes that means interacting with them virtually, and many times also traveling there and working directly alongside them. I have the privilege of being able to do that, and it makes my day-to-day varied, which is very enjoyable.
Yeah, I bet. And I know I also travel around a bit and spend time in different schools and districts. And of course, when I'm in a classroom, I was just at a conference where the presentations we did were in someone else's classroom, right? I'm always looking around, right? What do they have here? What's their technology set up? I was even snapping a picture of a picture book I wanted to get for someone that I spied in the corner of someone's classroom. And so we think about the classroom experience for students. Today, we're talking about the importance of quality audio experiences for students. How does classroom acoustics impact a student's ability to hear, to comprehend instruction, to really have their best day?
Absolutely. And when we think about just hearing and the teaching and learning environment, we put a lot of great technologies into the classroom. We do a lot of visual technologies. We have a lot of interactive technologies, one-to-one devices for students, and all of those things are really powerful and good. But if hearing, and it's true that hearing is the primary channel by which students learn, isn't it important that we put technology into the classroom to support that primary channel of learning? And the challenges that are faced in the classroom really tied to three different things. One is audibility, or the loudness of the teacher's voice or the student's voice as they're sharing among their peers. The second one is intelligibility. And then the final one is just how do we create an equitable listening experience in the classroom? So from an audibility standpoint, the research shows that the optimal listening environment is for the teacher's voice to be at 15 decibels above the ambient noise in the room. You don't want it to be too loud, because then it's almost like a PA system. You don't want students to feel like they're being yelled at. On the flip side, if you're not differentiating the signal, which is what we want the students to hear, from the noise, then all of a sudden they can't hear as well. So that's that audibility factor, or the loudness of the sound coming to their ears. The next one is intelligibility. And intelligibility is a little bit different than audibility. Intelligibility is about the clarity of the speech and how understandable it is. Sometimes I think about fast food restaurants. When you go to the fast food restaurant and you have that speaker blasting at you, it's loud, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're understanding what they're saying. And speech language pathologists know this extremely well. They'll tell you that vowels speak to the audibility of the teacher's voice or the loudness of the voice, but it's the consonants, and especially the soft consonants, that are critical for intelligibility. So you think about the difference of sounds like the F and the TH, the difference between fin and thin. Those kinds of sounds are critical for intelligibility, and especially in a classroom. And the research shows, especially even for students kindergarten through third grade, they need to hear over 90% of the words spoken in the classroom in order to understand that overall idea. And as I work with teachers across the country, I'm often reminding them, and they know this is true, but students are learning new words from them every day, whether they're defining it or not, because the words that they're using in an educational setting are different than what they're hearing on TV or in technology at home, or in what normal conversation is happening in their home life. So it's really important for those students to be able to hear all of those consonants and even those soft consonants for intelligibility and understandability of speech. This idea really hit home for me at a conference I was at this summer. Had a privilege of going to a conference where there was a world-renowned teaching and learning expert that was sharing with a lot of district administrators. And all the administrators were eager to hear this person speak. But immediately once he started speaking, there's a challenge. One was the audibility piece. He wasn't quite loud enough. In fact, I have a decibel meter on my phone, so I was actually to measure it. Yeah. And he was 8 decibels above the ambient noise in the room. So he wasn't up to that 15 decibel range. The second challenge was that he was from Australia and he had a strong accent, which was different for us to be able to hear. And it made it harder to be able to understand him. So that intelligibility piece was there as well. And I realized as adults, we need to hear about 50% of the words being spoken in order to piece together the words we're not hearing from the words that we are hearing. And for him, I realized I was only really understanding or hearing about every third word.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was the superintendents who were really eager to be able to hear what was being said started disengaging because it was too hard to understand what was being said, even though they really wanted to. And I thought about, I wonder how often this is happening in their classrooms. Well, where students actually want to learn, but they're having to work too hard to understand what's being said. And as I mentioned, with students, it's even more important because they need to hear a high word count to be able to understand the context of what's being said.
Gosh, that's such a great point and such a good example. I think of the moment as an adult where I'm very motivated to hear, whether it's the announcement at the airport or the fast food person I might be talking and ordering with, or I was at a wedding a few weeks ago where it was really hard to hear the speeches, right? With all the noise going on in the background for a student who might be at that same level of motivation as we all are listening in, or might not quite be, right, as motivated. This could definitely be something that impacts their ability to hear and comprehend and just learn new things. Are there specific acoustic problems that tend to arise in classrooms, and is there a way to mitigate them?
The most common one is ambient noise, and that can be ambient noise from an HVAC system. It could be ambient noise from other technology. It could be ambient noise from students that are outside of the classroom, as well as even the noises that are going on in the classroom when you have 20-25 bodies that are just in a space. All of those are competing for the voice of the teacher and the signal that we want those students to hear. What we do is put a microphone on a teacher, and our goal is not for the teacher to be a PA system blasting at students, but our goal is really to get to that 15 decibels above the ambient noise in the room. Even in an empty classroom, a lot of times when I'll go in and measure the acoustics and this sound level. Even in an empty classroom, oftentimes you're getting in between 40 and 50 decibels of sound. I often tell people, if you get below 35 decibels, that's when you notice how quiet it is. It might be like in your house at night when the air conditioner or the heat isn't running, or if you're in the middle of a forest where it's particularly quiet, that's when you notice how quiet it is. Because so we're always living with ambient noise. But once that ambient noise gets above 45, 50, and sometimes I've been in classrooms before where the HVAC system, or they'll have a wall heating unit that literally will put out about 70, as high as 70 decibels of sound. I was in a classroom one time in the St. Louis area where they could not even hear the PA system. So the students couldn't do the Pledge of Allegiance with the rest of the school because they could not even hear because that ambient noise was so high. So those are some of the challenges that you hear and that we see as we go into so many classrooms across the country and are trying to work through those things. So that's really our goal, is to be able to make sure the signal, whether it's the student's voice or the teacher's voice, that we're amplifying that so that they can clearly be heard in that instructional setting.
And yes, and I can imagine just the spaces that you visit, right? Hearing the pain points from classroom teachers, from school administrators who want to give important safety announcements too. There's just so many reasons why, you know, we want everyone to be able to hear and process the information that they come across during the day. How can teachers adapt their instructional methods when, you know, acoustic conditions are less than ideal, when that unit is buzzing in the background as they're teaching?
Part of it is a physics standpoint challenge, because we always think about the students that are closest to the teacher having a better experience in terms of being able to engage than the students in the back of the room. My last name is Zekel. When I was in school, oftentimes it meant that I was in the far back right corner to start out here until they reshuffled us. So I always knew it was going to be harder for me in the back than I would at the front of the classroom. So part of that is just teachers realizing that. And a lot of times teachers will come and say, I have teacher voice. And so I have to explain to them, what you're ultimately saying then is that you are raising your voice so that the student that is furthest away from you is hearing you at 15 decibels above that ambient noise. But what is that doing for the student that is 3 feet away from you? And they immediately respond. They say, they probably think I'm raising my voice or yelling. And I say, I know that's not your intention, but isn't it better if we could create an equitable listening experience? And teachers say 15 to 20,000 words a day. The average person says about 5,000 words a day. Often what we'll tell teachers is put on our microphone, and we have a special speaker that's designed for voice distribution that will evenly distribute that sound up to about a 1,500 square foot area. And teachers, we usually get two primary responses from teachers when it's tied to that. The first one is, I feel like I have so much more energy at the end of the day than I used to. I didn't realize how much energy I was expending just by raising my voice all day, every day for those 15 to 20,000 words. And then secondly, they say, I used to think that I had to repeat my instructions because my students weren't listening to me. And now I realize it's actually because they weren't hearing me. And so I have better student engagement and I don't have to repeat my instructions nearly as often.
And that idea of that unnecessary repetition, the wasted instructional time, I can absolutely see the connection there to teaching in an environment that has poor acoustics. And I'm curious, with your work, what differences have schools observed in student outcomes and engagement, which this all ties back to, when instructional acoustics are optimized?
Yeah, I often say, from a technology standpoint, there is more independent research behind this technology impacting student achievement and student engagement than any other technology you can put in a classroom. So we have multiple resources on how it affects test scores, how it impacts specific populations. Obviously, we often have worked with special ed populations for students that are specifically have hearing impairments that they're dealing with, but even English language learners, and that's becoming an increased percentage of our population across the country. I think it's now over 10% of the U.S. student population is now English language learners. So it's becoming a much more prominent piece. And depending upon where you are, that can be even much higher than that. So there's research around that about even students with ELL having a 30% increase in word recognition just by having those clear consonants coming to their ears. I could bore you with a lot of the research data points tied to each of those, but if any of your listeners are interested in it, we'd be happy to share a lot of that research that's available.
No, and I'm so glad that you gave those specific examples because there are, you know, specific student populations, right, that can really benefit from that clear instruction, right? Especially if it's new vocabulary words, right? It's content area or that domain specific vocabulary that, as you mentioned earlier, you know, students might not hear outside of an academic environment, right? It's not going to come up on a different device later on in their day. And one thing too that I mentioned earlier that I do want to make sure to ask you about, in addition to the ways we've talked about acoustics so far, how do instructional acoustics connect to school safety? So maybe beyond the classroom, the teacher talking and interacting, but you know, really being able to hear critical announcements and signals throughout a school building or a larger space.
Absolutely. That's really critical. And it's a very hot topic right now, just ensuring both that what are schools doing for safety and security and what are they doing from a communication standpoint between the classroom and the office, classroom and other staff that are across the school campus. So one thing that we've realized is there's a lot of value in the fact that a teacher has a microphone that's just around their neck and having just the proximity of that. So we have the ability to integrate with paging and intercom solutions that are within a school, so that it can provide a silent alert notification so that if there's trouble or an issue within the classroom, the office can immediately be notified just with a very subtle push of the button from the microphone in that case. Another thing that we can do is immediately mute the instruction that's going on in that classroom, whether that be the computer audio that may be coming through for the students to hear or the teacher's voice or a student microphone that may be, we can mute all of that so that the priority is for that page that's coming through. So we partnered with 5 or 6 different paging intercom companies to be able to have that ability to be able to do that across school campuses.
Wow, that's so powerful. Just that idea of putting pause on the audio in a classroom environment so that everyone can focus. They don't miss anything. They don't mishear anything either, which I'm sure comes up more frequently than not. So thank you for sharing those examples, because as you mentioned, it is a topic that a lot of people think about, right? They want to see that technology connection there too, and love to see those two pieces come together. For anyone listening today who is interested in this, who's looking for more information, who's ready at that school or district level to take a next step, can you tell us a bit more about Lightspeed technology, what this looks like in action in a school or district?
Of course. Yeah. Lightspeed Technologies, we've been in business for over 30 years. And a lot of people think, what sectors do you serve? We actually really serve only school districts. We're really focused on the teaching and learning environment and how we can make an impact in that space. So I would encourage people, they're always welcome to go onto our website at www.lightspeed-tech.com. And one of the best ways, I think, for them to be able to experience technology, because it's great, I can be on your podcast and be able to share all of this information, but a lot of times they want to see it in action. Yeah. And we have a free evaluation program so that a school can try out a system without any obligation and just experience it for a teacher and to understand the impact that it can make for their students. And then we often encourage teachers, when they try out the technology, to notice the engagement of your students. And a lot of times, what they will find is the students are asking the teacher to turn it on. Just because they realize the impact it's making and they don't have to work as hard to be able to be engaged in the teaching and learning that's going on.
Gosh, what a powerful note there to leave with, that idea that it becomes such a part of the practice. It's something that students crave. When it's not there, they notice it, which I think is such a testament to the power of that technology.
And the thing I would add tied to that as well is, we know about technology, one of the challenges is just teacher adoption. Mm-hmm. And being able to use it. And the thing I often will come back to is the harder we make it, and this is for all tech companies, the harder we make it for teachers to use, the less they're going to use it because they have such a high pressure job each and every day to serve the students that they're in front of. So we put a lot of work into making sure that the technology is really easy and can be adopted very simply in the classroom. And usually teachers will say it takes maybe a day or two to get used to the fact that they're being amplified, but it just becomes a part of what they do.
And that piece of getting everyone on board, having them see the value, making it easy for someone who has a lot on their plate is just so massive and such a great testament to the work that you do being in tune with the needs of classroom teachers. So Tony, thank you so much for your time today, for sharing with listeners this information that I think will help them take a step back and look at the way that acoustics are working or maybe not working in the environment that they're in. And anyone who's listening right now can click, can learn more. I'll put all the links in the show notes. Is there anything you'd like to add about where people can connect with you or where they can learn more about your work?
I think we summed it up really well. Monica, it was a privilege to be able to spend this time with you and look forward to hearing some of your other podcasts as well.
Oh, thanks so much, Tony, for your time today.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you could tune in to this conversation on the importance of instructional audio and just all of the impacts it has during the day for us as educators, as well as for students. So let's finish up with a few key points from today's episode to help make this EdTech easy. Reflect on the audio quality in classrooms. Address audio concerns so every student can hear clearly. Determine the role audio plays in your school safety plan. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from today's episode by going to classtechtips.com/podcast or just classtechtips.com and clicking the podcast button at the top of the page. You'll find all of the ways to connect with the team at Lightspeed. Again, a big thank you to our sponsor for this episode, Lightspeed. To learn more about Lightspeed, please visit www.lightspeed-tech.com. If you're listening to this bonus episode on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Overcast, Google Podcasts, another favorite app, you name it, whatever the app might be, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. And if you're pressing play on your web browser, maybe you're listening to this straight from classtechtips.com, just know that you can head to any mobile podcast app like a Spotify or Apple Podcast, search for Easy EdTech Podcast, and find this and lots of other episodes for you to explore.